This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Okay, you know, while coming up, a scripture just came to my heart, Proverbs 2, and it was talking around the place of wisdom entering into your heart. You know, I sense this session is another blend, is a different blend where, you know, wisdom will enter our hearts in the name of Jesus. You know, one thing I want us to do, you know, while our daddies and mommies were talking, you know, I could sense that there were some things they were still trying to hold back. I want us to shout, "Daddy, talk." So daddies and mommies, they say we should just blast. There are some questions here, which we have for our parents. Say, did you at any point feel like you were doing this church or God thing too much? Did you ever feel or get tired at any point? And how did you handle this season?
I don't think so. If I felt this God thing, if it was has been too much, I think the reverse is the case for me. I've never felt that I've actually gotten to anywhere in Him yet. Yeah, so for me, I don't think there's ever been a time where I actually feel that it has been too much. Every day, my desire, I feel a deficit in my soul that, you know, there's still more of God for me to, you know, I have aspirations of still more of God to ground to, you know, to conquer. I still don't know much. So I have that everyday longing and desire. As I wake up, I still feel that I still don't know this God that, you know, as I ought. I don't think so. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mommy.
Yeah.
I don't know if Daddy wants to say anything to that.
Okay. Amen.
Amen.
On the issue of, I know in particular, you are talking about the walk with the Lord as a single person. Not as a single person. Firstly, I never had any regrets when I was growing up as a single person that this God thing, I've overdone it. It's too much. In fact, I think that me as a person, I felt that I was not doing it the way I should do it. Sometimes there might have been some going beyond the board as a young person. But not really that you could have served God better. And most of what happened is because there is not enough guidance. Or where there were guidance, there's also bliss of useful exuberance. You are not listening. But at any time, thinking that serving the Lord is too much, serving in the church, brethren, is too much. I never had such. I can say that I had a great time as a young person in church. In fact, in my days, we like to be like in many multiple departments in church. We like to be in all Navigy. We want to be in all the programs. That was the kind of youth experience. So there's nothing as saying that I didn't, we are overdoing it. No. It's just that sometimes, something you need to also focus on. Maybe you didn't do it. And it's not because there was no time to do it. It's just that you are just not challenged. It's majorly of attitude. And it's not because of serving the Lord, working with the Lord that caused it. It's just that there was no so much understanding or balance. What God is helping us in this generation to do. We make sure we balance our work with the Lord. We go and make sure that our students are still diligent in their study. Workers are making sure they do well. With their boy. Those who are doing business, we don't allow them to give excuse because I'm serving God. That's my business. It's not wisdom of those things, or maybe that lack behind is what those things as we are moving, you know, going up. But there was any time of regret of not standing as a single person, younger person at all.
I also wanted to add to the fact that the reason why a single person will feel that this God business is too much is because you are full. Oh, to you. Because, actually, we've not started. They say at any point, I've not even started serving God. Because there are still things that should be remitted. Have you ever been hungry? When they tell you, what will you eat? You say, we have rice, emua. You know, you just want everything. It's at the point, it's too much. Because there's something you are looking for. But I also felt one of the things that was a trust that helped our pursuit was the place of a lot of cheerleaders and people ahead of you. I mean, when you've consumed egging, has anybody ever read egging and you are not praying that, Lord, it's like I have not started this journey. Those cheerleading, both seen and unseen, you know, I think there was a way it spurred you to know that you are still far. Pastor Tayo mentioned about Katrikuma. Katrikuma was one woman that is a teenager. I consumed, I think, most of her material. And I used to like, how can a woman be like this? And then you will read about all this, you know, all those women, and you're like, I'm not really sure. So I think I just wanted to add that.
Thank you so much, Mommy. I think pushing that question a bit further, looking at our generation, someone said that we are lazy Nigerian youths. I don't know whether it's true. But from what Mommy just said now, she said, the reason why you think you are doing God too much is because you are too full. So that there are things that, looking at, you've pastored a number of us. Are there things that you will look back when you are at this our age and you look at our age, you compare things that you feel that if these guys don't get it right now, when they come to where I am now, they might feel they should have done better. Are there things like that that you are seeing in our midst?
Yeah, thank you very much. I would say that the youths are laid. Yeah, some are laid back. Some are lazy, but on the average, they have energies, but they are just channeling them wrongly.
Yes.
And the reason for that is they don't yet have a sense of purpose.
Yeah.
One thing that helped us was our commitment to the light that was available in the church then helped us to fetch a definition of purpose, which we ran with until we came across a higher light. So the absence of that has led to them not getting their priorities right. It's almost a disease right now. Disease of the soul. Even when you draw the attention of many of the youths, I mean, I'm talking about some in the younger generation, there's an addiction already. And you know when there's an addiction, I'm talking about an addiction to, for example, wasting time on social media. For me, for example, before there was social media, there was emails. What takes me to email, you know, mainly, for example, my alumni group, we had a group, that's why we exchange emails, correspondence happenings, discussion. When I go there, the interest I defend there had to do with the gospel. So if I see something contrary to the gospel, you know, subtly, you know, some cerebral thoughts, you know, like, for example, what led me to writing was my colleagues at work way back in 2009, one of them sent an email, 21 Secrets of Self-Made Millionaires. As simple as that looks, I saw a subtle attack to the gospel, to the faith that is in gospel. So I stood up, I spoke with the brother, you know, for like some 20, almost 30 minutes. But after I tried to flood the argument, tried to expose the world in that. So after I finished, I felt a bit unfulfilled. I still had a burden. I could not communicate. So that's why now, and I went to reply his email, reply, put a contrary argument, you know, to what he said, and some things I could not say to him. So before I knew it, I still had more things to say about it. So in the days and weeks ahead, I kept replying that email, part one, part two, countering that argument, because I know it was a stronghold. The brother so believed it, and he was a believer. So what takes me to email then had something to do with purpose. So and then when, for example, social media came, apps and what have you, purpose regulated and defined my engagement. But we have a generation right now, with all that has been said on the pulpit, in person, counsel, it's an addiction, so it has found its way to their blood.
Ew.
For some of them, they will need to, God may need to bring some affliction their way. And a lot of time when you now cry out to the Lord will now, you know, draw one's attention to find that this is one of the idols I want to collect. I've seen many youth entangled in many idols, you know, and some of them married it. But we are hoping that by the good works of those who are doing contrary, God will be able to provoke them.
Thank you so much, Daddy. You know, it seems to me like we're a generation that are just waiting to swallow things. Just go to the internet, anything we see, take. But from the way Pastor Tayo said it, was like they were waiting to, you know, counter the things that were against their faith. They had a stance, they had purpose, and based on that, anything that was coming against that, they were not ready to take it. You know, and that's the mindset I just picked, you know, which is one of the mindsets for this, the burden concerning this meeting, marriageable singles in gathering. There's a lot going on out there on social media, but there is something the Lord is saying concerning marriageable singles. Amen. You know, Daddy was saying that during their own time, singlehood was a time to pursue God everywhere, you know, vigil, meeting, and the likes. Was there a point, maybe your family, your sibling, your biological family, they felt that, we need to calm down? Because I've seen that also. That's one thing that we're having within us now. Maybe your parents are saying, you don't even have time. In fact, come and travel out. Maybe when you travel out, you will not be going to this church every day and night. How did you undo such a relationship that it did not become an issue?
Well, I think for me, my mom was the one that led most of us to faith. So in terms of following the Lord, she wants you to follow the Lord all through. It was never an issue for her. I think the most important thing for her then, ensure, because she had a walk with the Lord, also ensure that you are doing your chores, you are not lacking. So my younger self then, I think the only person that always had concern, I remember, is my dad. I would say, after you have shared grace, what are you still waiting for? Just start coming home, you know. And I think for him, he was the one that struggled with that aspect that you are going for meetings. But I think those seasons, one of the things that helped was wisdom. Wisdom to order. I remember then, even as a teenager, I was involved in Foursquare. And Foursquare, after a Sunday meeting, there's evening meeting. I can see myself, you come back from church, just make sure you have done Sunday chores so that you can go back for evening fellowship. You know, as long as that was done, then there will be issues raised. Yeah. So the reason why most parents raise that as a concern is when you allow that to affect what you also need to supply in a home that you are in, that you go for long and then you are not even looking back. You know, chores. When I finished from school, I remember meetings. We still used to have meetings with our contemporaries in Lagos. And then I was even working. I would say, I want to go for a meeting. Some meetings were in IVG. You know, then Pastor Tom said, Pastor Tom will come to Lagos. He couldn't just understand. How are you going to do IVG for? That one, I didn't even used to argue. I was just, okay, these are the things I'm supposed to do. I would say, I'm going for this and all that. I would pray about it. Just pray that I want to go, you know, and then I will go. I will come back. He won't raise an issue because things were done, you know, the way it should be. So sometimes it's the wisdom of managing situation. And then also understanding, firstly, that I know when, as a younger girl, I had a bit of friction, a relationship with my dad. And I know the Lord helped me to see that truly our parents can't give what they don't have. That what has happened to you is just mercy for you to know. But that mercy is not for you to feel you are proud. When I finished school, Daddy was like, okay, if you're going to go to church here, because then I think my uncle and his wife raised up issue that we are now joining a group and all that. If you're going to go, he said that you go to his own church. So I now sat down. So the Lord, first of all, told me that when you go to that church, because those time, you know, some of us always felt we had more light, you will go to a church and you won't be able to flow. You will feel all these things they're doing here is religion. I knew the Lord said, you are religious. Jesus asked me, do you think that these people, I don't love them? I think that made this so good that there's nowhere I can fellowship with. But one wisdom I had there. So he would say, whether you go to this place or this. And meanwhile, there was a meeting that we used to have on Sunday. So I sat down and the Holy Ghost gave me a wisdom that, okay, I won't even go to his branch of Methodist Church. Cherie is Methodist Church. I won't go to his branch of Methodist Church. I went to the one close to the house. And, you know, I went to that one. After I finish, I'll now go to meeting. So by the time I'm there, I'm back home. Nobody knows what happened. I have the pamphlet of Methodist Church. I have, and I'm just cool. I did not just go. I made sure the chaplain and the bishop, they know me as a more shoulder. You understand? So I will greet. So when they knew that this girl is coming here, so it was easy for me to even leave when they just do this and start going. This was what I did, you know, for years up until, you know, I now had that liberty. You know, but I feel that in those seasons where there are conflicts from parents, one of the things that help is actually trusting on the wisdom of the Holy Ghost. There's a way to answer every man. And that was one thing the Lord always, there's an answer to every situation. And if only we can rely on the wisdom of the Lord, we will be blessed for it.
Amen. Another critical issue when you have issue from parents or family about your place of worship is a good conversation.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
You cannot say you want to go to where your place of worship, where you perceive, but you are the one that are in subordination.
Mm-hmm.
You are lazy. Your way of life is not anything to write home about. I was still A level. My dad was in another small town to go and organize crusade with our team in campus. And he hosted us because of persuasion of a good conversation.
Yeah.
So the parents, if you say you are going to your church, but your way of life, your character is bad.
Yes.
They will assume that it's that church you are going to that is teaching you that.
Yes.
So the first thing we must give attention to is to have good conversation. One of the things that will make this, our message, stand out, will not be blaspheme, is firstly, our way of life.
Yeah.
Our way of life with our siblings, if you have your siblings. Our way of life with our parents. Our way of life with strangers. Our way of life with other Christians. If they discover that we are not living right, they will come and fight. They want to frustrate us. But if we live right, we are the people that honor them. We respect them. We support them. We do things we need to do. We are living right. Peter said, when they speak evil of you, they should be ashamed because of your good deeds and good doing. So it's very important that we emphasize that if you are being persecuted by your family, or the issue is not fighting, that's the time you should measure up by good deeds and giving rights, that they will be able to find reproach against what the Lord is leading you to do.
I just wanted to say this. In case you are here, and maybe because of you feel you have an understanding and they are doing family devotion, and you feel that, well, all this thing is religion, you can do your devotion. No, those are some of the attitudes that some of us display. When they tell you to share, then you want to begin to share a revelation that you know what you are doing. See, all these things, like Pastor said, are things that will not show forth a conversation. You know, that will make them query, that question your faith and your belief. You know, if there is anything they will have you with, it should never be your conversation. It should not be that they don't understand what she's doing or what he's doing. But they're persuaded about your conversation. I just wanted to add that.
Thank you very much. Let me just paraphrase what Daddy Amoni Thompson Emma just said. The Bible says, give unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar.
Yes.
And give unto God what belongs to God.
Yeah.
A lot of times we fall time giving unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar.
Mm.
We fall time being blameless. They can blame, you know.
Yes.
So, for example, one way to we can manage some of those issues, which is spirits that is preying on their ignorance.
Mm.
But we can change the dynamics of the battle by bringing them to a ground they can't fight.
Mm.
By coming lower than they are.
Mm.
By doing things well. For example, I remember when I went to UK some years ago, it was quite a long time, 2014 or so. 2013. I saw the kitchen of my uncle is a Muslim. I saw his kitchen. It was really messed up. You know, the way they hardly have hands. I started washing the kitchen in the morning. I didn't finish until in the evening. From about 10 to about 4 or 5. By the time he came there, he was shocked. He was touched. He was convicted. He didn't know how to appreciate me. He now went to bring one of his clerks, one expensive clerk he bought for £200. It's a clerk that he used for life. It's a shoe, a particular shoe. He just felt indebted. So those are some things. Like, for example, when I was staying with daddy and mommy, okay, sometimes when I go to tidy their room, I can spend hours tidying. By the time daddy will come back and he will see the room, he will be touched. So I believe in the spirit of this commission, one of the things the Lord has encouraged us to do is to do things well. Or excellently. Do things with an excellent spirit. There's a way it will disarm them. There's a way it will help them see the message in us. When they can see the message in us, Holy Ghost will be able to convict them. They will know, like Galilee. Is it Gamaliel? Yeah. That if they still be of God, just leave him alone. They can see a balance. So, but when that's not the case, then the enemy can give room. Then finally, another scripture that came to me was 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, 12. It says, having conversation honest. So it's not every time our conversation is honest. For our conversation to be honest, it must align with the word. Our conversation must align with the message. When it does, Holy Ghost can use it to convict them. It says, having your conversation honest amongst the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they feel unshade you. You are taking it overboard. Please be compassionate with them. They are doing what is natural to them because of ignorance. You should do what should be natural to you because of light. So it says, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold in the presence of time. They would have seen the conviction, they would have seen your constancy, they would have seen you keeping the commandments of what you proclaim. Bible says they will glorify God. They will change their what they have to say about you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, our parents. We love that. We are blessed. I think I'll push this. Looking at the relationships you've had, talking about relationships and conversations, most of us, we just feel like, these are our pastors. They just fell from heaven. You don't think that they went to primary school, secondary school, and university. So looking at those days, were there relationships that you built that you will say that they contribute to God's purpose, to what you are doing in the Lord, to God's purpose in your life now? For example, now I see some of my parents, they say, okay, old school girls association. Well, I don't think I've ever heard Bambi to talk about. So you have such relationships that you can say that they contributed to you.
Amen. Okay, well, not deeply, in the sense that, you know, my upbringing was not such that we were just youth in a very big church. So there was no probably grip like that. But I had friends in secondary school. I had friends. But I got born again in secondary school. I had a group of friends. Some were born again, some were not. It was in recent times, I started seeing some of them. I met a particular one of them in these waters. Or she met me in these waters, and I was really shocked, you know, as at the time I met her. So, yeah, I had friends, but I didn't have that very strong influence like that. We're just, you know, regular friends. And because there was no strong influence like that, we couldn't continue. Yes. So even though we have students, we have alumni and all that, there's really nothing to talk about. Yes. So I had to build new friends. So I don't have alumni or friends like that. When we see ourselves, we still gist and, you know, and all that. But that closeness was not there towards what we are doing now. Because some of them also did not, they just feel that it's too much. The emphasis is too extreme. What are you looking for? And all of that. They just want to serve God at their comfort. So they were all believers, but what they wanted, they didn't want something more than what they feel that they already have. So I didn't have very strong ties like that of friends. I built up friends as I grew. So once the friendship, we are not going to where we are going to, we'll divorce friendship, we'll get new friends. So that was for me, actually.
For me, because many of my friends then took just Hagin word, they didn't take Hagin spirit. So they could not move from that foundational aspect of doctrine to the doctrine of Christ. So in a season when purpose was redefined for us, we're not eating from the same table, we didn't have the same focus, we didn't have the same emphasis, because doctrine is what endures. What they were holding on to is not something that endures. So we didn't have a common ground. So even till today, I still make effort to try to woo them. We know it's messy, you know, but we should not be wearing well-doing. I still keep reaching out to them. I still keep doing many things, even on the group. There was a questionable argument that, you know, people misinterpreting Matthew chapter 28, go ye into all the world. Some believe that as a believer, that coming is a commission to all believers. You know, of course, we know it's a commission to those apostles who had been with Jesus. And then authority also rested upon them at some season to be sent. The person said, who shall go for us? And it was, I know there are younger people. It's a large alumni group. The younger ones may want to misinterpret that and fetch impression for that. So I had to raise a contrary argument with scriptures, solid, well tabled out, to floor that water view. And then mistakenly, he now responded to it. So some arsenals and some defenses that further substantiated what I was saying and what have you. So some people, they now later told me, say, we are listening to them. They are the elderly ones. Funny enough, some of them were the ones that led me to Christ. But they're talking that evangelical what have you. So the younger ones, they follow. So when they say some things, they want to, because of over time, I'm talking about 20 years now. What am I saying? 20-something years, 23 years of what have you. When those elderly ones say things, they want to hear what I have to say about it. Because, in quote, I have earned a reputation for standing for the truth and being able to substantiate it from doctrine. So doctrine did not enable us to migrate together. It's doctrine that keeps us together.
Wow. Thank you so much, Daddy. Tweaking the question a bit, does that mean that if you see some of your old friends, you know, moving away, if you see things that are separating you, you shouldn't make efforts to keep those relationships? That's one. And I want to push it a bit further in the sense that we've heard some of our parents talk about, you know, making friends with elderly people who are older than you, because there is substance in that one. You can be sure you get substance from there. How do we go about that?
Okay. I want to first say that at every state of our lives, the Lord gives us a company. At every phase of your life, there's a company the Lord wills for you. It can be in church, it can be in school, it can be, there's a company that he wills for you. Just for, mostly to keep you safe, and also to add to you, so that you are encouraged. For me, the Lord found me early, you know, and by the time I got into secondary school, you know, and there was something the Lord told me when I became born again. He told me that he was going to always give me a company. He also told me that he will always give me men and women that will mentor me, you know. So that made me very mindful. In my secondary school days, we were so vibrant that we actually had a group called Army of God. You know, I went to all-girls school. Those days, when I look back, you know, casting out demons, all these things, we had a swell time, you know, praying, you know, having so much presence. You know, we had that while in school. And it was a sweet group that the Lord brought. And the Lord also gave us mentors, even while there. You know, there's a particular teacher, I invited him for even SMF Flex. He came, he was like, should I say, somebody who pastored us. But back, I was in the boarding house at some point. Back home too, there were some uncles and aunties that were mentors. I'm also trying to tie to the place of relationships, you know, with the elderly ones. I had those ones in church, home, uncles that would come. I won't forget the uncle that introduced me to Katrikuma and Benihim. And when he's talking like this, you literally feel the presence of God. And I'll just be looking at him. In your walk with the Lord always brings people your way that would offer that support. Most of us in secondary school then, so that is, they are women of God. They have big ministries. They are married to pastors. At least most of us that were together. In terms of having, you know, maintaining that forum, where we don't have that forum, but we have relationships. We have personal, you know, sisterhood, where we just call, you know, talk, and then, you know, encourage one another. You know, there's always a ground of fellowship. Always a ground. Faith is one. But, you know, the instance where to push people forward, the Lord has, might not have showed them that mercy. Even some of them are in the sea of these waters, you know. I believe that the Lord will meet them, you know, at the point of their need. Yes, we have an alumna of secondary, but I don't even say anything there because when they reach out, there's nothing to say. But in terms of having relationships, so we should be very mindful of relationships. Yeah. Very, very important. And I can say this, I think I shared something that happened about some relationships I didn't do well with. And I had regrets. Even when I thought I had understanding, you know, I felt the Lord make me know that I shut down the potential of what he could do with that relationship. You know, but then we entered university, you know, that's where I met most of my husband, met quite a number of companies. But can I say to you that even that wider company is not everybody. It was just a tenth of that company that have this understanding. A tenth. Because that company was, many people are caught up and locked up in many things. But do we still relate? Yes, you know, but in terms of pursuit, it's not the same. You know, there are people that still today, till today, they feel that Pastor Thompson, Pastor Dimeji, Pastor Tosin, that they went to start a church. It's like they are falling from the pursuit, you know. And even when we meet, there's always that banter thrown here and there and all. But do we still have that relate? Yes. The place of having elderly people, God's people, you cannot overemphasize. I mean, I'm better off from it. In my early years, relating with elderly people is something that the Lord helped me with. My grandma raised me to a point. So talking to elders, listening to them, learning to be quiet. One thing you learn with relating elders is learning to listen more. Learning to observe them. Learning to just listen to what they say, both in the natural. We always tell younger sisters in church, for instance, move closer to elderly women. Faith, like I say, you know, there are some elderly women. I'm trying to say that elderly women, it's not by age, Steph. Maybe in faith. Because there are some elderly women, they are yata, italawa. Not those kind. And some of them are in church, you know, so that you can learn. You know, sometimes these women are not carrying mic, but what they carry, they carry virtue. By relating with them is a blessing. So I have been blessed, you know, having them, some are spiritual mentors. In terms of being discipled, it is not every time that the pastor that preaches to you. In that church, there'll be older people. If that's what elder brother is for. Being elder brother and elder sister is not to say, I am brother. No, it's so that you have something to give somebody. Remember testimony in SMF Flex about the sister that discipled her in her room. And it's just 1 year difference, oh, and discipled her, you know. If we are not raised well, how will you disciple the younger one?
Thank you so much, mommy. Okay, so they said we should fire on. All right, I know you have relationships with elders. Looking at our generation, are there psychological, you know, when they say someone is sociable, are there things that helped you? Would you say you were sociable? Okay, look at your relationship with like daddy, reverend. Are there things that you feel that we should have or that you are not yet seeing to the maximum that we should do better in helping us to relate better with people who are older, most especially graced men?
Okay. Relationships should be taken seriously. There's no relationship God brings your way from secondary school, primary school, especially if it's Christian relationship. All relationship may not primarily be for salvation of your soul. Some relationships are meant to answer you in your difficult time in life.
Yes, sir.
So don't throw relationships because they are not saying what you are saying. Make sure you keep all relationships. So long as they are not fetish, they are not harmful, they are not blasphemous. I've said it to you time and number. I happen to have a bit of pride in a relationship. Hardly should I enter to any nation in Europe that I don't have people, two or three people I can stay with. But there are some that, because of my carelessness, Because also there are wisdom in relationship. How do I know this? Many years ago, I have so much passion to see that my dad was a minister, to come into this water. I'm always on his neck. I'm like, probably sit. But I remember where I went to go and pray, and the Lord told me, stop troubling him. He has used his own allocation. You walk with me. I began to borrow myself a lot of wisdom on them that not everybody in my life meant to come into this thing. Jokers, during the earthly life of Jokers on earth, his brothers did not believe on him. So we must make sure we maintain relationship. One of the persons I've seen that have done very well relationship is Mami Ellen. So you must guide your relationship jealously. Not a relationship primarily will drive you towards coming to the fullness of God. Some relationships are there in your life. We go through different seasons in our life. And when God wants to meet some needs and not go, it may not come to your brethren. Is that your secondary school friends?
Yes, sir.
So please, let's know that because people are not saying what you are saying or something, you should push them aside. They are not hurtful. They are not hurtful. You must make sure you service your relationship. Yes, service it. Put phone call to them. Reach out to them as God give you grace. Concerning elders, it's very, very important that if you are going to walk with elders, you must not be a person that is very flippant. If you want them to bring, you must not be flippant. So, if they discover that you are flippant, you are not a person that has given to details. Because those are things you find about what Pastor Tony was saying, what he did to that uncle that he went to his house, was able to spark, you know, one of the house. If they tell you to do the same kitchen, some of we are not patient enough. We just do wuru to answer and walk away. You are sure that you are also going to take wuru blessing because you are not ready to do the work. So oftentimes, if you are dealing with elders or you are moving to elders, one thing you are all the flippant, you must be a person that is very detailed. You have to be detailed when you are relating with them because they are detailed people. They have made their mistake. They have learned their lesson. So detail is very important. And also, you have to know that you have to be accountable to them. If you just come in, if they feel like you're not accountable, they can't track you, you can't sustain such relationship. So these are things you must know. You must be very, very detailed. You must not be flippant. And also, you must trust God for wisdom. Those are things that you must pray for. You must be ready to go all the way. And the more you do that, the more their heart is open more for you, the more they love you, the more they trust you, and the more you can entrust things. When I say entrusting, I usually say something. Many times you go to elder's house, or you visit them, or you love them, that you won't go bored with him.
Yeah.
Elder give you gifts.
Yeah.
You take gifts back. It may not be physical gift, it may be spiritual gift.
Yes, sir.
It may be wisdom. Nobody visits an elder that does not go back with gifts.
Yes, sir. Counsel.
You always go with gifts that will brighten your path in life, both spiritual and every other aspect of life. The Lord bless us all.
I just wanted to add a little thing about, you know, with elders. Know that you will first offend.
Yes, sir.
When you are relating with elders. And
collections.
That is the first season where you will be tempted to
pull back.
Just pull back.
Separately.
You'll be tempted to pull back. You'll be tempted to just keep them at arm's length.
Mm.
But just know that is your exam. And you must seek something in them that is beyond their weaknesses and beyond their limitations.
Mm.
You must seek the God that they carry.
Mm.
If not, once you keep looking at you'll be offended. Mm. Why? Because there are things inside of you that is not also saved. So it's those things that we call up for those things, and then there will be a clash. So, but after a while, if you are able to endure that season, you would see a beauty, and you now get it to a level where nothing offends you again. There is nothing. The reason why you are still offended is because you feel you are something. So you now come to a place where you know that you are nothing. Anything you say is okay. You are able to prostrate. You are able to say, I'm sorry. It's that time that elder can trust you. So most times in dealing with people that have oil on their head, that oil would test things inside of you. So we have to be careful. And when they are testing the things inside of you, are the seasons where you just want to run away. So you have to be careful. And go back to the Lord again. The Lord gives you instructions. Just come a little bit humble. Another thing I see with relating with elders is that you have to grow in discernment. The person you knew yesterday, you must know when the person has morphed, and you must acquire more reverence for the Lord for that person. If not, you know, spirit will catch up with you. Familiarity, spirit of familiarity will catch up with you. They'll just become little in your own eyes. So we must keep growing in discernment and keep growing in reverence. With that, you stay safe and you become a trusted, you know, person in the eyes of elders. Amen.
Amen. Just add to that. Thank you very much for that. The last thing she said is what has not helped. A handful of friends, contemporaries, ministers still relate with reverend today that used to relate with reverend before. And it's Satan that just robbed them, because some things on reverend is for them. It takes mercy to relate with an elder.
Yay.
Jesus has to show you mercy. Satan can exploit your lack of wisdom. He says, is there anyone amongst you who is wise and endued with knowledge? Let him show out of his conversation the meekness of wisdom. There are temptations you can't escape from you and from the devil. If God does not show you mercy, when God shows you mercy, they will now give you wisdom to relate with elders. Because to be an elder, they will check how you relate with elders. There are things in us that misinterpret them, that misjudge them. And if there's even any way they are not yet like Jesus, heaven will check how you relate with even their imperfection.
Yes.
When you can pass some tests in that regard, they will promote you in the spirit.
Yes.
A time is coming, you will also be an elder in your own stead. So when you are dealing with an elder, that's one reason for helpmates. They are raised to bear some burdens for us concerning our relationship with elders. Amen.
Thank you so much, sir. Wow. Okay, let me push this to Mommy Dupe. okay, and line of career also. We tend to go to work and, you know, I feel like there are some people that are your elders at work. You know, that boss, that you're like, some of us don't know how to relate also with those kind of relationships. That aside, and are there work ethics? Are there, you know, we know that you've also come to some age and some, you know, some placements in your career path. Are there work ethics that you feel that are missing with us as youths, as singles, you know, that you feel that we should start looking at to help our career?
Your work life is not separated from your faith life.
Yes, ma'am.
Actually, your faith life is the bedrock of what happens at your working place. We have been called to one life. And I think as believers, it's one thing we must recognize, it's one thing we must embrace. You know, the place of understanding that whether you're a medical doctor, you're a lawyer, you are primarily a believer. You are primarily a believer before whatever profession, whatever career that you are pursuing. It is from there that will define your life in that place and everything. Now, when it comes to where, you know, relationships with your bosses, with your peer, what are the ethics? It's commandment. You know, recently I was trying to catalog, I wanted to read some scripture to you just on the work ethics. I've been working since 2005, 20 years. And if I was to go through an interview, I would say I've grown through the ranks. You know, I've been in different roles and capacity. I have some scripture that I know the Lord gave me in the span of those career that helped me. I won't forget this scripture, Proverbs 22:29, in Amplified, about hard work and correct attitude to work. You know, because some of the things that gives us issue, you know, when you talk about ethics at work, the ethics at work is not standing alone for a believer. It's coming from a conversation. Do you see a man skillful and experienced in his work. He will stand in honor before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. This scripture, the Lord said, if I do this, I will grow in my career. Then, you know what you now want to murmur? You say about bosses. Colossians 3, 23, 24. He said, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive what? Of the what? You see, when I saw this, do you know how it translated to me? That if I do all things heartily, my workplace will land me to the inheritance. That what I am doing, as in that place, is also a tool to actually get to deliver inheritance to me. When I knew that, my head was correct. I knew that what I was doing was not out of God's hand to actually be a tool to help me. Then you see the issue of unreasonable bosses, work environment, bosses that don't understand you, politics. You know, the first thing the Lord first told me was Isaiah 8:12. He says, do not fear what they fear. Say ye not a confederacy to all of them whom these people shall say of confederacy. Are you understanding? Neither fear ye their fear, nor be what? Afraid. You see, those are people that fear for their work, as if your work is your life. The Lord said, you cannot fear, yes, must not fear uncertainty. You know, fear must not make you not all the culture of faith. Don't call fear. So when some people, you know, all manners of persons are related, just know that I'm not calling this a conspiracy. 13, whom you are to regard as holy. He said, it shall be your source of fear, and it shall be your source of dread, not man. That's a work ethic. If you're looking for work ethic, I'm telling you work ethics that I use. The other one I wanted to show to you, that's about bosses that use you. Matthew 5:44. About bad bosses, people that use you. Said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor or fellow man or your colleague or your boss and hate your enemy. But I say to you, that is unselfish, seek the best and higher good for your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. One scripture says, who despisefully use you. Pray for your bosses. You have a bad boss. You have an unreasonable boss. Pray for them. He said, pray for them and persecute you. One thing you owe them is firstly your prayer. Me, I can tell you because I've seen it work. I'm not telling you what I've not used. It has worked. When I begin to pray for, you know, situation as an ethic, I see turnaround. Then I think lastly, I want to read this. In terms of maybe you have query, they give you query, you don't know what to say, their situation on how to answer, you know, what do you do? Colossians 4, 6. He said, let your speech be what? Seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer what? Give us an amplified. He said, let your speech at all times be what? Gracious and what? Pleasant and seasoned with salt, so that you know how to answer each one who questions you. There's a way to answer every man. Many of us, these things, that's why I say work ethics. What ethics are commandments you have kept in your hearts? They are instructions that the Lord breathes over that helps you in relationships. So you can say that there's word for everything. One thing I always say, there's an answer. Even when it looks like, oh, the situation, what do I do? If you can just wait, and because it's coming from a place that this, your work, is not separated from what? From your faith life.
Thank you so much, Mommy.
Thank you.
I don't know if Pastor Tai will just add to that.
Okay, thank you very much. Number one, you have a lifetime opportunity to be known for what you stand for. Mm. A wise man once said, the law of compromise is once. Mm. That's what happens when, you know, fornication and whatever. You break that, what have you, the guards, it becomes easier to do it again and again. In the same way, when you can't defend what you stand for on an occasion, the enemy will give you 101 other avenues where you will have to compromise. Mm. So I tell people, ensure you have a lifestyle that if there are compromises in an organization that will limit you from defending what you stand for, you can quit.
Yes, sir.
Because of your faith. Mm. Your faith is higher than that salary you are getting. Your faith is higher than all the perks and what have you. Your faith has to do with your conscience. Mm. If you will hold faith with a good conscience. Mm. Those are part of the examinations we unknowingly fail in that season. And a lot of times, you will know when you look back, you will know that, I did not stand for something here. You will know. Except you don't have a way of judging yourself and giving yourself as to appraisals. So each and every one of us have an opportunity. And is it an opportunity to be a witness without words and with words when occasion affords? Amen. And then another thing I want to say is we should also be known to be caring. It's something that can be traced to that charity nature, being kind. I mean, being kind, being caring. Ask some of your colleagues, some of them, how are they doing? What are they going to? Whatever. Before you know it, some of them will have the liberty to confine in you, especially when they know that you are a believer who has reputation, who is discreet, who is matured. They will have a cause to open up to you. That's what happened in London, Anu School, Anu Egoke School. She has I think mommy has shared the testimony, am I correct?
Yes.
So then don't let me go into that. Why did that Muslim woman have a cause to confine in Anu at her age? She could see what Anu stood for. Mm. And then she also saw how Anu has learned from her mom how to be caring. You know the way mommy were, how are you doing? And she will ask about family members, all those things, warmth, help you assess the hearts of people. They won't even know when they are just favorably disposed to you. They won't even know when they are opening up to you. Why? Because you have modeled Christ somewhere in your asking after them, checking on them, following after them, and also even praying for them.
Yes, sir.
There are some of them that will not have the liberty to connect with God's grace upon your life if you don't watch over them in the place of prayers. And then also, there are occasions, there's a way you can be open in terms of on the job. You know, like for example, I had a boss who was... all bosses are generally insecure, you know, but there's a way to manage their insecurity. So sometimes they say, okay, present a particular report at the end of the month. But even though I know that my boss wants that report earlier than then, so a lot of times before he asks for the report, what have you? He's an Indian. He wants to know what's happening. I kept giving him updates. He so appreciated that gesture, that open, that extra mind. You know, he now began to use me as a plumb line before others. That going the extra mile, when it was MD, I won favor for him by that gesture. Why? I was not relating with him and even my line manager as a superior. I was relating with him with the spirit of what Ephesians talked about, that we should relate to them as servants. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I put away my rights. I see the way some of my colleagues relate to them. You know, even in the corporate world, they give some rights. You know, but because of what I'm hearing, and because of the life I want to, that season of life to fetch, I go the extra mile to do some things that will not occur to my colleagues. And before I knew it, I was favorably disposed to them. You know, I found favor before them. So there's some favor we can find for our bosses if we can go the extra mile. If they're being warm, being caring, and what have you. Amen.
Thank you so much, Daddy. Wow. I think this is the last question. I'll throw it to Daddy Thompson. It's on finance. And you know, Daddy spoke about charity. So let me read it in this way. He says, there is a subtle trend of putting pressure on others to meet one's needs, all in the guise of we are brethren and charity. Do you think we have a wrong understanding of charity in terms of having a brother or sister meet your needs? You know, and this additionally, on the issue of borrowing money from loan apps to meet one quick need. There's also buying things such as gadgets, clothes, electronics from credit facilities with zero interest and borrowing airtime or data. Is this wrong? What is the alternatives to having our needs met in such cases, since these options are readily available to us? Mommy.
Amen. Once you get born again, one of the things that faith towards God teaches you is to be able to look up.
Yes.
To cast your cares to the Lord. To know that, you know, He careth for you.
Yeah.
Ability to look up. It's a training.
Yes.
You need something. The first thing you ask is the Lord. If you don't learn how to look up, you will depend on men. You will now become covetous. And you will now do things that are unimaginable. So the first thing, if you are somebody that is always quick to ask people, without asking the Lord, you should first repent. The Lord taught my husband and I, after some years, you know, because my husband can give the whole house. But later on, he taught us that, you know, we are not the Holy Ghost. We are not, as believers, your money is not even your own. Even the one that you are giving out, it's not yours. There is a place for general charity, but there is a place that some people, they are under some certain dealings. The Lord expects that they learn faith, and then they break that channel because they know you are a liberal person, to always come and ask you. And if you do that, you have truncated God's plan in that person's life because you have taken his place. So both ways, there is no blessing. So we must learn how to trust the Lord for your needs. Another thing that we must all learn is to be content.
Yes.
And understand how God provides for you and stay within the grace that you have per season. There is always a grace allocated to you per season. Be content and stay within that grace. If you stay within that grace, the Lord will move you up. But if you are somebody that you feel the Lord is slow, there's a way you feel the Lord is slow, you have to be sincere and really ask the Lord, how would you have met this need? I'll just give a quick story. When my husband stopped work, the Lord needed to teach me how to ask for help, how to ask somebody. But he had already taught me how to ask him. Because he was teaching me, sometime probably there is need of food in the house, or there is need for maybe a child or whatever, and I don't want to disturb my husband. I know he doesn't have. And I go to the Lord and I ask the Lord, Lord, how will you have us meet this need? One thing the Lord will do, he will drop a name in my heart. Ask this person. But that season, it was to deal with something because I didn't know how to do it. Giving was easy, but I didn't know how to ask and to receive. I didn't know how to beg. I've never begged before in my life. I needed to also learn how to beg. Ask. He needed me to learn it. So he would put a name in my heart and he would say, ask this person. And I might struggle with it and struggle with it when the thing is glaring. This is my relationship with the Lord. At that point in time, I couldn't bring my husband in. He knows how to ask, he knows how to give, and he's balanced. But me, I had one deficiency, because that is also a deficient. You must also be low. Your hands too must be like this. You know, when I asked, the Lord would reply. I can remember the first year when he stopped work. I didn't have an issue with him stopping work, but my major issue then was house rent. And I said, God, we pay house rent in July. I went to meet my husband in January. I said, sweetheart, how far with house rent this year? And my husband said, January. He said, I should leave his front. So I went to the Lord and I asked the Lord, Lord, how far house rent this year? You know, the Lord just told me, he said, save this amount of money. I will send you this other amount of money. And the exact amount, he said, save this amount of money. I will send you $1,000. And that $1,000 that he sent to me, when the person called me, was from somebody that I told her. I said, I'm the one supposed to give you money. It's not you. I said, me, I'm supposed to give the one that I have saved. We're just gisting. And you know, and she told me, the Lord is talking to her about a need that I have. Yes. She said, the Lord is talking to her about a need that I have. That what is it? So I was just gisting with her. We're just gisting. And then she now told me, okay, I'm going to send you this money. I said, you send me this money. She had issues with her school. They were going to deport her. She wasn't working. So how do you collect money from that kind of person? It was an issue. I was like, I'm not going to collect. It took me 3 weeks. And the Lord saying, if you don't collect the money, they will chase you out of the house. Before we now agreed, you know, to collect the money from, you know, that person. So we must learn to know how the Lord provides for us at every season of our lives,
There is a way. There is a how. We get into trouble when we cannot wait. We are not patient. And we get into trouble also when our needs are above our means. You know that, okay, you know that you cannot sustain this house rent. Why do you go and take a house that is not sustainable? Why not come lower? If you live below your means, you will be safe in all seasons. Yeah. And my husband always says something. The fact that you have money doesn't also mean you spend it. It's a discipline. The fact that you have the money to buy this doesn't mean you should buy it. For some of us now, there's so much money in our hands that you really don't know what to do with the money. The fact that you have that money doesn't mean that everybody is wearing a particular hair. You should buy that hair. Is the Lord permitting you in that season to buy that thing? Is the Lord permitting you? So it's not a validation to get something.
When people claim they can afford a particular thing, a lot of times because they don't have a quality or costly or a high love work, that thing that they claim they can afford is going to cost them some known and unknown love work. So that love work becomes the alternative for God when they are justifying the fact that they can afford this. And then I tell people, I said, well, you are a steward of that salary. The way God helped me, and that's why God helped me also fulfill some obedience that season. The understanding the Lord gave me was, you are a steward of your salary. So how the Lord trained me and us was, before the salary comes, I asked the Lord, Lord, what do you want to do with it? By God's grace, I was quite separated from my salary for years. And then Lord would tell me, do this, do this, do this, and maybe have this to yourself. So, and then as a family, then we're living on about 20-30% of what we're earning. And about 70% was going month in, month out, year in, year out for love work for 14 years. So when I was about leaving this corporate world, I didn't have fear of how I'll be sustained because I have learned faith. And I've also seen my parents in the faith who had lived in a season like that where they did not know where whatever will come from and ravens will bring this and the widow of Zarephath. I have seen faith in their life and then I have also been trained, you know, and then I knew I had laid a foundation, I had sown for that time. So I just knew I could walk on waters. I could relate with a season I have sown to. And as God will have it, truly, some weeks afterwards, after I left, I had my last salary because by God's grace, even the gratuity they gave us went as a seed time, so that I have nothing to trust but God. And as God will have me, have it then, you know, the Lord told me, live a day at a time. I had to just not take thought for tomorrow, like that, full stuff, what have you. And that's how we started until I lost my dad. And then they say my bill was 450,000.
500.
Was 500,000. Even, okay, maybe 450 at last when we. And then even the clothes we're going to wear, I just kept looking up, trusting as God will have it. Somebody paid for the clothes. A week before the burial, the 450,000 came without necessarily calling on people. Faith that I professed in words, in writing, I now had to defend it with my life so I can have inherit what the Bible calls the spirit of faith. Because a lot of times to inherit a thing, you must go through through some dealings. That's why you will inherit the lines of precepts. You know, that's how, like that. A time came, God opened my eyes and said, or rather, communicated and understanding to me that I'm rich. I'm not rich in dollar and in pounds. I'm rich in hearts. Just so how God will use some particular people, you know, to address a particular need and in another need, another set of people. And that's how a time came when God was blessing us more than what I was earning when I was in corporate world. Just living a day at a time. Just living on words. But that only came after responding to many of the dealings that the word that came my way placed on us. And in those seasons, you know, like I said, the value then was there's something called love work. I knew my salary, you know, belonged to the Lord. And what I saw in those 14 years was three things, three investment grounds. I tell them, I said, these three investment grounds don't fail in the face of any economic what have you. I said, invest in the life of the saints, the servants of God, and the work of the ministry. Those are where a chunk of all that the Lord brought my way in those 14 years, those are where they went. And I can tell you, sirs and masters, the grace that I fetched in the last 9 years, many of those seed times, good measures, pressed down, shaking together, running over. It has not failed. I have a weakness. I believe that many of that seed time will speak as touching my children and my children's children. My understanding is that my needs are insured by heaven. The Lord has taken it personal because over some years and a decade, and almost a decade and a half, the Lord helped me to take his own needs personal, which had to do with the saints, the work of the ministry, and the servants of God. Amen.
Amen. We need to be careful and be sincere. There's this thing, you know, people like to flock around people you think they have things in the natural.
Yes.
You don't do that. That's an insincere heart. You don't do that. When you find yourself, you know, like that, take a break. Why am I close to this person?
Yes.
You know, some people just like, once you change, they just like that.
Yes.
Especially I see that, and we need to be careful. You need to be careful. If not, you'll find out that, number one, you don't know the dealings that they had that brought them to that state. One thing you should learn is that when, especially when you are, you know, you want to flock around, you can't see Mommy Dukwe, for instance, now, and you want to come into the state where, do you know where she started from? Do you know what her process is? Fellowship with her suffering, fellowship with her path, fellowship with what brought her to where she is. Don't just stay around her and think, okay, this is how she has always been. This is how it was from the beginning. No. Ask yourself, when you flock around somebody, ask yourself, what is this thing? Why am I around this person at this time? Ask the Holy Ghost to tell you, what's the essence of this, you know, closeness? What am I supposed to gain? But never flock around anybody because of anything external. These are the kind of people that I like, you know. Let's be careful, you know. Let's be wise. Amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Please take note of this. God will give you relationships in your life. You are not only going to relate with brethren.
Yeah.
In fact, if the Lord blesses you and God bless you with good conversation, in early 80s, a lot of rich people employ Christians, SU, to work in their organizations, millionaires. They usually write to pastors to send church members to come and work for them. Mm. And as the world is going, the one thing that will happen in the future is that people that have true character, especially churches that are preaching Christ-centeredness, God may not give you money, because what God is interested in is for you to be a witness of this life. Those will be another opportunity that God will open. It happened in the 80s, where else we are being employed by our lodges. People, they write for Christians to be their accountant because they know the money will not miss. So, because of that, one of the things Meg said is that you are going to meet people with various influence. You must not think of what you can get from people. It's the word of the Lord. It's the word of the Lord that said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Don't ever forget this. Always know that it's more blessed to give than to receive. Always know this, that it's more blessed. You are more blessed when you give than you receive. Don't have default or that you want to receive. Position so that I will always give. Even when you meet a billionaire, what should you think? How can I give?
Yes.
That will position you for great opportunity in life. Because if you meet people that have means and they saw that you want to take from them, they will give you, but they will block you.
Yeah. Yes. Very true.
They give you once, but that's it. Because they read it. There are people that we have sent in our life that is when they want to take, they are tag around and then we know that this person is using you. And we say, okay, this person is a user, this person is a user, this person. But God said, keep quiet about it. What happened that you know that that person is not going to go far? Because you told you, you feel like you're more blessed to receive than to give. Then, always know this, because as you walk with the Lord, you have become character formation. God will open you up to people that are looking for trusted people.
Yes.
And we put it there. Don't think of what you can take from such people. I've told you, I've shared testimony of my boss that I work with. He will sign check with a writing figure and we travel with his family for abroad. And people are surprised. We have an accountant, but I'm the one that hold the check. Then, accounting people and secretary and people say, you left check to sign check. You say, this one is an SU. You won't touch my money. You will sign check, 10 check. I'm talking about 2005, 2006, check that has 500 million. 300 million. The year I took 30,000 because it delayed, because I was starting, I had to tell him, sir, I don't need this money. So that's it. You carry foreign currency with bike, trying to go and give. But no. Every Sunday, I still receive text message, WhatsApp, or my WhatsApp from him. So people knows you if you are faithful. So please, one of the things that will make this message last is our conversation. Yeah. Because God will bring many people that are rich and go to come to church. Mm-hmm. They should not be people that they can buy us with money. Concerning loan. Loan apps. Or, you know, there was something that happened when they consolidated banks in early 2000. If you have a stable job, they come to your office. You can buy a car on credit. They say you should pay back for it. God is already coming back. And people buy it. God's people. Bible said a borrower is a slave to the lender. You are a slave. Because that thing, if something happened to you and you can't pay it back, you see me, I cannot give myself any trouble for anything. If we can't pay this rent of this church tomorrow, I will tell you all of this. Stay in your house. We broadcast my house to you. To me, thought I can be a test to prove my heart. Yeah. I've told you before, if today I can't pay 3-bedroom house, I will move to 2-bedroom house. What's more important to me that I'm able to attend to meetings and I'm able to assess fellowship with brethren. If I can't pay 2-bedroom, I will move to 1-bedroom flat. And my mind is wired already like that. If you're sincere or not, God can tell. If you can say with a mouth, God will know that this thing can no longer be a tentative to you this man again. So he will allow you to come because you know that you are ready to do it. If that come to the last thing. So, you know, it starts with borrowing airtime. Yeah. You know, that's it's up to airtime. And for airtime, you borrow data. In your finances, if I'm going to spend money, there must be instruction about it. That's like general things. So, and because of that, you must live your life that there's room for supply of grace. Because you have money in your pocket or something, you must sort out everything. Sometimes you may need a TV and you have the money, but don't buy it. Because somebody may need to have it, his TV, or they gave him something. He will not carry the one he has and give it to you. But if you have a mindset that every month my name was a met, you will never live a life of grace. And you need to do that kind of thing, exercise again, to do something upon your heart. Don't borrow money. I'm not even going to say the Bible says so. You don't need a loan in your life. Whatsoever you can live with your income, live with it. What you should do is that cut down things that take away money from your hand and go into a season of sowing. If what you have is not enough, reduce further and enter the season of sowing. What you are hanging is not enough. Cut yourself. If you are not going to do your hair for the next year, go and do Jerry Coil, baby coil, and be coiling it. If that is taking away $30,000 every month, take $30,000 and start supplying to needs of brethren. Do that for the next 5 years. If you are ever not, you come to some graces. Yes. That is not a permanent solution. A permanent solution that what I cannot be enough. What can I do without that is not a need for the next 5 years of my life? I take it away. I will take that resources and I will try to be a blessing. Do that and come into grace. It's not trying to live on other people's. It will not. Make room for God to supply supernaturally. Don't live with loan. Not if you're a person like that. You may do the first one. You went through. You pay back. Second time. The third time you get, you hang. They will send your name about that this person is a bad day. They will blackmail you. And now all the brethren will see your name on their phones. And then you say, our sister, you don't need that kind of thing, my brother and sister. The Lord will bless you in the name of Jesus.
Amen. We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akeo Senior Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.